Hello, it is AJ from Ebbs and Flows podcast. This is episode 3. Wanted to detail a little bit about the stages of grief. And so the stages of grief developed by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. I met with a grief counselor shortly after my dad passed. The session was not the best, let's put it that way. The presenter of the group had lost her husband, but was very firm in the fact that she did not believe that the stages of grief were used for the families of the deceased, but instead were used by the person who was about to die. I think that can go both ways. Yes, on one hand, I think the person who is dying does have some kind of grief mentality, especially if the illness is drawn out and is over a period of time. But for my dad, I don't really know if that was the case. You know, I think he came to a acceptance piece of it at some point in time, but was never really angry or anything. I think that he realized that he lived a long and good life, and that was all he needed to make it through this process. With my Uncle Tom, you know, his death was so sudden, and I think he ever really got to that point of those stages of grief, where he was, I would say that people who have had long, drawn-out illnesses with cancer or whatever it may have those stages of grief that they feel in their life. They're angry at this, at the cancer. They're bargaining their life choices, how they got this cancer, how it happened, that kind of stuff. They're depressed because of the cancer and that they're not able to do things they used to be doing. And at some point, maybe they come to the acceptance of it, or if they don't get there, maybe they go to denial and say, this can't be happening. So, yes, I think that it can go both ways. I think on one hand, yes, it can be for the people that are actually dying if they have a long, drawn-out illness, but I also think that the stages of grief are much more in-depth for those of us that are experiencing death and loss, whatever that death and loss may be. If that's a loss of a loved one, a loss of a family member, a loss of a friend, loss of job, whatever it is. And let me just throw out there, loss of job. I realize grief can be much more in depth than just family, somebody that dies. Things that we experienced with my father when he passed, I don't think I ever denied him passing. I 100% own that because I've seen death in my life and in my career, and I can't change what has happened. There's no amount of yelling, swearing, sweating, being anxious that is ever going to bring my father back. That is the unfortunate reality of the situation. He's not coming back. And unfortunately, as much as I want him to come back and experience the things that we were experiencing together, I won't have that experience again. And I even looked at my Uncle Tom the same way. One minute he was here and the next minute he wasn't. And for me, promises of somebody who I could have reached out to had I felt okay to do so, 100%, I could have reached out to him in any moment. And he would have just accepted it for what it was and it would have been okay. But I'm so scared, frankly, to reach out to the people that I have in my corner today. I don't have that trust, that inner trust that I should have to reach out to them. So for me, it takes me a lot to trust somebody because I don't want to feel like a burden. I don't want to feel like I'm a problem. I don't want to feel that I'm doing anything wrong anytime that I think that I am in a vulnerable state. Now, I have a lot of people that I can reach out to, but again, with that guard being up, I need to evaluate the situation before I entrap that person in something negative that I'm going through. We all have our demons. So the denial there of my dad's passing, it wasn't there. Am I angry that my dad passed away? 100%. That was something that I've struggled with all my life, has been anger, but the piece of the anger that is really frustrating to me is, how is my dad, who had this great life, who never hurt anybody, how does he get something that we're 99.9% sure is cancerous, and how the heck does he die before we get the confirmation? But also, I look around at this earth and I look at all these people who don't deserve to be here, and they are here, but my dad isn't. That to me is the root of my anger. How do these terrible people get to live their life every day without consequence? But my dad had to die. With Uncle Tom, I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm angry about that. I think I was a little angry at myself for not reaching in with him more, not checking on him more. But at the end of the day, if he wanted to, he would have told me how he was doing. With bargaining, I think I bargained just a little bit. I think the one thing that I bargained with was if he wasn't the first one to pass away, if my Uncle Tom passed away first, would my dad pass away? If the roles were reversed, if Uncle Tom had this tumor and he passed away before my dad passed away, would my dad still pass away? Because, like, with Uncle Tom, I feel like he died of a broken heart, but with my dad, it was like he had a medical thing that happened. The bargaining principle of it would be looking at my dad. Would my dad have passed away from a broken heart if the roles were reversed? I think he would be sad, but I think he had other outlets that he could go to. As far as bargaining in general with him dying, it's just like, I think he maybe bargained with it, getting the tumor, and I bargained it with it a little too, was how did he get this tumor? His most recent surgery was like 15 years ago. Was it all the pop that he drank? Was it wine before bed every night? Was it lack of exercise? Was it more exercise? What was the reason for this tumor? I don't know. There's so much bargaining that I could do in this moment that I can't, because I don't know how it happened. I don't know how the tumor got there. As far as depression goes, yes, I'm depressed about this whole ordeal. I've always been somebody lately who has been strong for my family, strong for my mom, strong for the dog, strong for the people in our lives that were close to my dad. And even at the hospital, I was so strong for everybody, to the point that they were questioning when I would break. And to me, it wasn't a matter of when I would break, but how it would happen, what would motivate me to break. And really, since he's passed, I've cried three times. Cried once in the hospital, cried twice in the hospital, once after he passed and once before he passed, and once at his funeral. I've had some moments where I've teared up, definitely writing things and definitely talking about things, but nothing to the point that I have full-fledged cried. With depression and grief, it is a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope because it's not so much that I'm saying that grief is a mental illness. And depression is a kind of a mental illness that people struggle with, but it's more so the fact that this is something I've never experienced in my life. With depression, I have days that I'm great. I have days that I want to stay in bed all day, and I have days that I need to work on myself. And as I was talking in therapy today with my therapist, we discussed that I need to do this more. I need to do this more. I need to talk about this more, because talking about it really makes it feel real. With the depression piece of this, I think that it's very difficult for me struggling with depression as it is, but also this grief, it just comes and it goes. You know, there are times where I feel great and there are times that I wish this was all a dream and we could just wake up from it. I wish somebody just throw some water in my face so I could wake up from it. But that's not how grief works. And that is something that, for me, it's been a learning curve. I want this to be over. I want this situation to be over. I never want to experience something like this again. But that's life. We are going to experience grief. We are going to experience grief. All of us at some point in our life will experience grief. And this, maybe for some people, looks a little bit different. Acceptance. I think I accepted it from day one. Again, I said there was nothing that I could do to bring him back. That he passed away, and that was that. I think the moment that I fully accepted it, though, was when the palliative care doctor, Dr. Jeff Gordon, name of my favorite NASCAR driver, and also an Ohio State alumnus, much like my dad, was that he told me that my dad was never in any pain. He might have been short of breath, but he was never in any pain. And to me, that gave me the acceptance piece that I needed. You know, my dad had a heart attack. My dad fell outside of his office, smacking his head on the pavement, and had to have CPR done on him. But for the whole entire hospital stay, he was sedated. So he never had any pain. The most that he would have had, according to the palliative doctor, was shortness of breath before he fell. And to me, that was the peace and the acceptance that I needed. I needed to know that my dad was never in any pain. It is difficult. This whole process has been nothing short of difficult. Every day I wish that my dad was here with me. Every day I wish that he could watch the Pirates with me. Every day I wish that he could be here with us. And 100% he's here with us, but not in the way that I want him to be. Now, the add-ons to the stages of grief, like I'm currently writing about in my memoir, are, there's two things that I think are full in this moment. The first one is regret and guilt. For me, I had more so regret and guilt with the passing of Uncle Tom than I did with my own father. I did regret not going out to dinner with my dad when he invited me right before the end of his life. And I wish I would have gone to dinner with him that night, but I don't know what that would have changed for me. But the regret that I have with Uncle Tom, it was the fact that I didn't reach out to him more. Despite the fact that I talked to him every day, I didn't say every day, hey, how are you really doing with this? How is this affecting you? Do you need somebody to talk to? We talked about sports. Heck, he called me at work one day to tell me that Jalen Hurts was injured and I needed to pick up a new quarterback. When he called me at work, I thought that my mother had passed. I thought that something terrible had happened to a family member, and I called him back and said, hey, I'm at work. Never do that to me again, because the last time I got a phone call from you at work, my dad was in the hospital in critical condition. But it was moments like that that really just showed me who this guy was. He cared about me so much that he wanted to make sure that my fantasy football quarterback, I had somebody healthy playing versus somebody who wasn't going to be healthy and wasn't going to play. So, again, I regret not asking him, how are you doing with this? How are you feeling? Going out and getting dinner with him, I regret that. But at the end of the day, I can't hold on to those regrets. In a conversation with a good friend of my dad's and Tom's, Mike is his name, I've mentioned him in the last podcast, he told me, AJ, you cannot continue to feel guilty about that. You talk to him every day. If he wanted to tell you how he was feeling, he would have. And I needed to hear that. Mike has been so full of inspiration since both of these losses happened. And it's been really fun for me to explore grief with him and to also explore just everything about us. The similarities that we have with different things. He's a huge sports fan. I'm a huge sports fan. And it's just a really fun relationship that we're building. And I thank him every day. Every time that I have the opportunity to send him a message and say thank you, I do. Because I don't want to be there when Mike passes to think that I didn't do enough, that I didn't make him feel that he was appreciated, that I didn't do enough to make him feel that he was a big part of our life, that he was a big part of my life. And every time that I have that moment to thank him, I do. If there's somebody in your life that has helped you through this process of grief, please, please reach out to them and thank them for me. Because, like I said, grief is such a difficult process. I never want to regret anything. I never want to feel guilty about anything. I just want to live my life, basically. Like my dad would have been doing. He would have been living his life 100%. The second add-on to the stages of grief, in my opinion, is exhaustion. I would say that the exhaustion starts right after you lose a loved one, because you have all these people that want to do things for you, and you don't have the mental or emotional space to handle all these things that people want to do for you. It was easier for us to be surprised by someone doing something for us than it was for somebody to ask us, do you need anything? I need to spend time with you. I need to do this. I need to do that. It was more so helpful when the person just showed up for us, because that way we couldn't turn them down. And also we couldn't stop them in their tracks. We couldn't say, no, we don't need anything right now, because they were at our front door knocking on the door. There was a moment, two moments actually, after my dad passed that happened just like that. When Jimbo came and delivered the milk from my uncle's coffee, it was one of those moments where he didn't call us or text us before he left his house. He just showed up. There was another moment where an old coworker of my mother's, who we had not spoken to in a really long time, had showed up at the door. I remember opening the door and be like, oh my gosh, it's so-and-so. And to me, I couldn't believe that she was there. But again, for somebody that I think in the past may have hesitated to do things, for her going outside of her comfort zone to just show up, unsure of what the outcome would have been, unsure if we would have been home, unsure if we would have opened the door, unsure if whatever would have happened. But we made that connection with that person again. And I'm thankful that we were able to make that connection with that person, because at the end of the day, you gotta explore grief with people close to you. You gotta have people close to you who, and this person who had showed up at the door that we weren't expecting, had been in my mom's position years earlier when her husband passed away. And she knew exactly what my mom was going through in that moment. She knew what I was going through. She reconnected me with her daughter, who I hadn't spoken to in a long period of time, who also knew what I was going through. She's an only child, and I'm an only child, and we both have lost dads. Even when Uncle Tom passed away, and going to their house, you know, trying to spend some time with them, but realizing that they needed time to themselves. There was a moment where somebody in their lives just kept on bombarding them with, you know, making dinner for them. And they had to say several times, no, we need to just be a family. Because they were grieving my dad. They were still grieving my dad's loss. And they just needed to be a family. And there's also this exhaustion piece when it comes up, when family and friends are not willing to understand or able to understand what we're going through. Grief is not something where you can just break down and cry, and that's that. Grief comes and grief goes. You cannot just expect to cry. Somebody can tell you, hey, you need to cry, you need to let it out. But at the end of the day, that's not healthy. That's not a healthy way to grieve. These emotions come out when you feel that they are ready to come out. It's something that I've never experienced before on this level. I thought that I would have my dad for a much longer time than I did. But even in that moment, even thinking about that, I don't deny that he left us. I am angry that he's gone. I bargain with it often, sometimes. I am depressed that he's left us. I'm depressed for a variety of other reasons too, but that is definitely a big one. I've accepted that he passed. I didn't not accept it. He's gone. I regret not going to dinner with him. I feel guilty that I didn't go to dinner with him in those last moments. I don't know what that would have changed, because I didn't go. And I'm exhausted. We were exhausted. Every time that we go to a funeral proceeding or a viewing or whatever, we are exhausted. And people that know who we are when we enter the room are exhausted for us. There was a moment where there is also an extended period of not knowing what to say when you lose a loved one, for a person that's talking to you in conversation. One of the things that we have hated since all this started is, how are you feeling? at a viewing for a family friend who passed away at age 93, who had lived an incredible life. My mom and I walk in, and one of the family members who had grown close to my dad and our grandparents, because they lived next door to each other practically all their lives, had asked my mom how she was doing. And interestingly, she started to cry. And she said, "Well, I was doing great until he asked me that." And he said, "Well, what the heck do you want me to say?" In joking, totally joking at that moment. And it's just the same reality for us. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to say when we lose somebody. And we don't know what to say to somebody else when they lose somebody. We're so conditioned to say, "How are you feeling? How's it going?" But at the end of the day, for somebody who has lost a loved one, we're not doing well. Answer the question yourself. We're not doing well. We're not feeling great. It is difficult. It is difficult. These are feelings that we are all going to experience someday. We are all going to have to experience grief, whether that is loss of a loved one, loss of a family member, loss of a job, a breakup, a divorce, whatever it may be, we are going to have to experience it. So I just wanted to invite anyone listening to, if you have a story for me about grief or losing a loved one or a job or whatever, and you want to apply these feelings of these stages, let's do it. Let's break it down together. So again, the stages of grief, with the add-ons that I added on, are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I added on regret and guilt and exhaustion. There is no right way to grieve, and there is no wrong way to grieve. I mean, there probably is a wrong way to grieve, but there is no instruction manual in that moment. There is no instruction manual for how to go about grieving. You gotta know what your limits are, and you gotta do it at your own pace. If something doesn't feel right to you, you can always go and take a break from it. Fortunately, we can't take a break from grief, but we can take a break from the moments, the things that we are feeling in that moment. Grief is never ending. It is with us forever. It is hard. It is difficult. But we have the power to change the way that we grieve by opening ourselves up to others who are also going through the same experiences. I was talking on a hike yesterday with a guy named Jim, coincidentally, just like my dad's name is Jim, about how he experienced loss when two of his wives had passed away from cancer in the past. He had said that he's always worried to talk about grief because people are uncomfortable by him talking about it. People that haven't experienced it are uncomfortable. So he shies away from discussing how he feels. And I said to him, "Jim, you gotta talk about it. You can always talk about it with me when I'm on the heights. I will always talk about grief with anybody that's willing to listen or share or anything. But we have to talk about it. It would be unhealthy for us to sit here and just wallow in our own sadness and depression and anger and bargaining and denial or acceptance or exhaustion or guilt. It would be unhealthy for us to cope that way by just wallowing in it. We have to talk to people. Whether that is your parent that is here, your dog, your loved one, your friends, your family, we have to talk about it. It is healthy to discuss it with someone you love. Anyways, I wanted to thank everyone who's tuned in to listen to this since we started. We have big plans. I have big plans for this. And I wanted to thank those who have listened to the first two episodes for tuning in whenever I post a new one. Again, we gotta talk about it. We gotta talk about grief. Thank you.